This is Sean with Voices of St. Joan of Arc. I'm speaking with a woman that grew up in the church, and she now is gazing at Lake Michigan, and your name is Betty Bartz. Is that correct?
That's right, Sean.
All right. And what year were you born?
I was born in 1928.
1928. So that puts you at 86? No, 84?
No. That puts me at 93, Sean.
You know what? I'm sorry. My brain and math was not on it at that moment. 93 years young. All right. So where exactly were you born? And in what hospital or where was it?
It was at St. Vincent's. And at the time, we lived at 42nd and Broadway, and I had two older brothers, and I'm the only girl in the family.
Okay. Now, your mother, what was her name?
Anna Marie King.
And your father?
John Joseph Blackwell.
My middle name's Joseph, Sean Joseph, and John Joseph is pretty close. All right, so your mother's parents, what were their names, where did they live, and what was kind of their career, what did they do?
Oh, my goodness. Now, mother's parents were Bernard King and Elizabeth King. And Bernard came from Ireland, and I'm not going to be able to come up with the date then, and did many things trying to make a living in Indianapolis. And if there is history of how they got from the East Coast to Indianapolis, right now I'm not coming up with it.
It's all right.
But he did several things. I believe he had a grocery store, and then built houses and a multitude of things, and also had 13 children.
Wow. 13
yeah.
Kids. That's a little bit of that's the old Irish Catholic and trying to.
Oh yeah.
That's a lot. So your father's parents. What were their names and what did they do? What's the backstory?
Father's parents, John Joseph and Nora Teresa. Nora Teresa. Okay, that her maiden name is slipping away. But he was an undertaker in Indianapolis for years and years. And then just recently, an article that was in the paper surfaced when he was doing the unpaying job of coroner for the city.
Wow.
And it was when the Indianapolis Speedway was kind of in his beginning days, I think. And he deemed that the track was unsafe for cars, so he canceled the race that year.
What? Are you kidding? Do you know what year that was?
No, but there is an article, and Karen knows it.
Wow. And, you know, we're dealing with a lot of interviews with race legends, and that's something I'm going to bring up and see if they know that fact, because that's pretty amazing that he said was the track was unsafe, so it wasn't basically as smooth, or there was too much there, or the car, was it the track or the cars? Do you have any idea?
It was the surface of the track,
the
I'm
track
sure,
itself.
Because you know, whatever year this was, way long time ago, we didn't have the cool surfaces that we have now,
right?
And Grandpa went out there and looked at it and said no.
Wow, that is crazy. That's awesome. Okay, so and your parents, what did they do? And just again, say their, what are your parents' names, and individually, what did they do?
My John Joseph Blackwell, Anna Marie King, and Daddy was a dentist.
And Mama took care of the kids.
That's right.
And how many brothers and sisters do you have, and what are their names?
Well, I'm the only one left. My brother, and you'll notice a trend here, my oldest brother was John Joseph. And then Jerome, and we lost Derry in World War II. And then Kenneth, my baby brother.
And then how many kids from you guys being the siblings and grandkids, do you have any idea how many exist now, today?
I believe that I am in the minority, Sean, but I don't, certainly from our immediate family, but as far as my uncles and aunts on both sides, I have lost track of that.
Okay. All right. So when you were born, what are the very kind of first memories you have with your family or with your parents? How far can you kind of go back? What's something that kind of stands out, one of your first memories?
Oh, goodness. Maybe I was not an observant child, but I don't remember anything. I remember that I was a prize item for my mom. She loved to dress me up all the time.
Okay.
And my brothers, sure, they tormented me, I am sure. But no, I can't come up with anything, Sean.
Well, how would you describe the house you grew up in?
Oh, let me see. Loving, Catholic, very, very Catholic. That was the prime thing in our lives. And we went through some difficult times. If I was born in 28, the Great Depression came right after that.
Right, yeah.
And there were some tight times, I think. But we all survived and loved each other.
Well, and the actual house itself, where was it located? Do you happen to remember the address or the street?
Yes, it was on Broadway. Let me see. I think it was 4247, but I might be fuzzy on that number.
That's pretty close.
And it is still there. It is still there.
And so I'm assuming, you know, did you go to kindergarten or did you just go straight into first grade? Do you remember?
Yes, I remember. I went to kindergarten. No, I did not go to kindergarten because there was no kindergarten. I went to first grade when I was five, and I was six the following January.
And was that at St. Joan of Arc?
Yes, it was. Yes, it was.
So do you remember some of the teachers you had back then?
Sister Mary John was my first grade teacher. Sister Marie Carita was my fifth grade teacher. Rose Dolores was in there. And one thing I really, really remember, it was eighth grade. Can I leave to eighth grade?
Sure.
Okay. Well, Father Hoover was there, and he was a very young priest, and he decided to introduce girls' sports to St. Joan of Arc.
Okay.
So he organized a volleyball and then a kickball team for his girls. Now, he was obviously the teacher, because we did not know a thing about how to play kickball or volleyball. We had never even heard of it. So our gym was in the old church, and that had the fifth grade classrooms at that time. So the main school was full, and they put the fifth graders over there, but they took the pews out. So that was our gym.
Wow.
And at the end of the season, Father Hoover arranged an award ceremony. And the awards ceremony consisted of giving each of us three, maybe four-inch high letters, SJA, red letters. And our mom sewed them on white sweaters for us. And we were the cock of the walk.
All right, so who were some of your friends back then? Do you remember some of your gals you used to hang out with?
Oh, certainly. Ann Stuhldreher, Martha Bosler, and she was the niece of Monsignor Bosler, okay. Who was our pastor.
Yes.
And Martha Carolyn Finn, Martha Brosnan, Ellen Wagner, and I'm going to leap around here just a minute, Sean. I left Indianapolis when I got married, and I came back in 1994. And those same girls were having lunch together every Tuesday afternoon.
Wow.
Yes. And unfortunately, Ellen and I are the last ones locally who are still here.
So did you jump on that train and start having lunch every week back in the 90s?
Yes, I sure did. I sure did. And then I spent some time volunteering at St. Luke. We were far north, so that was my parish. But it was wonderful to be back in Indianapolis. And then long about somewhere in the 90s, Father Hoover died. And I went down to his funeral. And there was nearly a full pew of his old volleyball team at his funeral. And now all these ladies are of the same age that I am.
Wow.
Yep.
All right, so I'd like to bring it back a little bit. What's when you were little, and you remember walking into the church, and it's huge, right? It's very tall,
yes.
And it's very spacious, and it's very ornate, and it's very detailed with mosaic and the columns and everything. If you could kind of describe how yourself and maybe some of the other students, like maybe just the perception of that gorgeous cathedral style, just how did that kind of, how would you describe it? And then also, what are some favorite memories within the actual sanctuary, the church itself, that you have when you were young?
Well, it was awesome, and in the full sense of the word. And my favorite place was the Blessed Virgin's altar on the left. And remember, we went to Mass every single morning before school. And I guess when I was little, very little, I was awed by the grandeur. But then it became so normal, and the place to be, and the place that was always going to be there, because of the frequency of going to Mass every single day.
All right, so then you went through grade school, and then where'd you go to high school?
I went to Ladywood.
You went to Ladywood. And so what was the years in comparison to when, like, Cathedral was downtown, there was Ladywood, and then all of a sudden it came up and merged? How close to that merger time were you? You were way before that, I'm assuming.
Yes. I was way before that. Ladywood was very, very small. There were just 18 in my graduating class at that time. And so this happened, and I don't know the dates on that at all.
Okay.
But it was a good thing, and there was some friction about the merger, as I understand.
Right.
But everything has healed, and all is well.
All right, so did you continue in high school to attend St. Joan of Arc Church?
Oh, yes, I certainly did. And I have another story. Do you have time for another story?
Oh, sure, yeah, we got plenty of time. You just keep, yeah, you're good.
Okay. All right. In high school, I can remember very, very clearly, every Tuesday night, there was a CYO meeting at Joan of Arc in the school basement. And we would come in and sit down, and one of the associate priests would give us a mini sermon and, you know, just a little talk. And this was all former Joan of Arc students who were aware of this, and they are aware of that it was happening because they went to church and they found out that, you know, okay, this is what's going on. But anyway, we after the sermon, somebody turned on the jukebox, and we all danced. And this happened every single Tuesday evening. Now, this was wartime, 1941 to 1945. I was in high school.
Right.
And I can clearly remember sometimes one of the boys, and, you know, they were just boys when they went to war, but they came home on leave, and they dropped into the CYO meeting on Tuesday night, just to touch base, I think.
Wow. And so after high school, and you said, how old were you when you got married?
Pardon me?
How old were you when you got married?
Oh, goodness. I think I was 23.
So we've got...
It was 1952. And...
Well, before you start on that, so you, when you graduate, you're 18. When you got married, you're 23. So kind of explain what happened in those 5 years.
Okay. I went to St. Mary of the Woods in Terre Haute my first year of college. And I will reference again that we lost my brother Jerry. I didn't want to be away from home at that time. I thought my parents needed me there. And so I transferred to Butler. And finished my bachelor's and master's degree there.
In what? What was the area?
Education, of course. All the girls were in education.
Gotcha. And was that for elementary, high school, or what level? Where are you going?
It was English and for high school. And later on, very much later, and we did... move around a bit. I was substituting in New Jersey and enjoyed it tremendously.
And then how did you meet your husband?
Oh, he was right there at Butler when I got there.
He was right there waiting for you, huh?
Yes. Here I go talking about World War II again. But he was back from the war. And that was all of us girls had all of these men instead of boys for dates, and it was an adjustment for everybody.
And do you remember where you actually met him, like that first moment, how you guys got introduced, or where was it?
I think I do remember it. He happened to be the president of his fraternity, and I was the president of mine.
Uh-huh.
So, yes, and we had a meeting, you know, how all that stuff is with the Greek people, and
sure.
That's where I met him. That's where I met him.
And how would you describe, like, him, his personality when you met him? What kind of gravitated you towards him?
He was a Catholic boy.
Okay.
And he was very, very sure of himself. And well, he was 5 years older than I was. But somehow that attracted me, and he was persistent.
Okay. All right, so did you guys end up getting married in St. Joan of Arc?
Yes, we did.
So talk about the marriage in St. Joan, talk about how that went down, who was involved, the day, just some things you remember.
Well, it was let me see, I'll go back now, way back. It was very different because we had to have a wedding before noon because masses had to be celebrated before noon at that time.
Okay.
So I think our wedding was at 11 o'clock. And Ann Stuhlgreier and Nancy Tressler were in my wedding. And afterward, there was a reception at the true sense of the word, just a reception, meet and greet. And then we were off. It was not anything like today's weddings.
Did you do anything to decorate in the church besides just the church itself?
Oh, we didn't do a thing, Sean.
Okay.
It was beautiful, but we had flowers on the altar, yes.
Okay.
And the long walk up the aisle with Daddy, and I certainly do remember that. And my daughter Kathleen, who lives here too, was married in that church also.
So was it kind of surreal for you, the fact that you grew up in the church and then you're now being married to a man from coming back from the military and whatnot? Was that how was that kind of moment in your head?
No, it was just the way it was.
Okay.
And I was grateful that our paths crossed when they did.
Right. And who was the priest that was the officiant on the ceremony?
Well, it was Archbishop Schulte.
Okay.
Yes, and he was a friend of Daddy's, and Daddy asked him if he would officiate it, and he did.
Great. All right, so you now start down the road of being married, and where were you living at this point?
Chicago. I have lived in Chicago three times. Jim was working there, so of course we moved to Chicago, and then there was a series of transfers, and we went to Summit, New Jersey in I should have looked up some of these dates, but we were in Summit, New Jersey 31 years, and then he retired from working, and we retired to Indianapolis. And that's when I came back and took up with the Lunch Bunch and Joan of Arc. I am delighted. I haven't physically been in the church since the renovation has happened, but I plan to take care of that very soon.
Okay. So when you came back and you started going to Joan of Arc again, what type of things did you get involved with? Type of group?
No, I did not. I was a St. Luke parishioner.
Okay.
I did not get involved with Joan of Arc. We were geographically close to St. Luke, and that was my parish, and I approached that with gusto.
Okay. So did you have kids, and how many? What were their names?
Okay, I have seven.
Okay.
And yes, and I have Susan and Jimmy, Kathleen, Laura, Jerry, Kevin, and John.
And do they live in Chicago, or where do they reside?
No. We are really split. There are three on the West Coast and three on the East Coast, and Kathleen here in Chicago.
Got it. All right. So just overall, is there anybody from St. Joan of Arc that you'd really like to just mention that you really appreciate over the years that, you know, has kept in contact with you? This, you know, that they've been involved with the church and you just like to give a little bit of best wishes to them?
I can't come up with names from, we have been, you know, as I say, we were there 17 years, but my focus was on St. Luke at the time, and I was always proud of my roots in St. Joan of Arc. But, you know, the stool drawers who lived two doors from the church, and I lived right across the street from the church, too. And I can still tell you the names of all of the people who were in the houses from 42 to 44th Street.
All right, so here's a faith question for you. Obviously, you've been a devout Catholic your whole life, and you've had a lot of connections with multiple parishes and whatnot. But what do you think is, if you're going to tell somebody young, what do you think's important about Catholicism, and what really motivates you, and what do you really love about it?
Oh, I think about that a lot. I have 16 grandchildren and 13 great-grandchildren, and all of them, you know, have minds of their own. But I think the thing about being Catholic and having rules is not so much an obligation, but it is a huge assist in rearing a family and just giving a definite guideline of how you should act and treat each other. And I thank the good Lord that I was born Catholic.
Okay. And do you still do any prayers or anything? Like what do you kind of do even just on your own? Or what have you done on your own to kind of keep your own focus of your own faith?
I hope that you filter some of this, because what I did today when I was going to have this little talk with you, I thought, oh my gosh, what if I go, and so I was walking around the house saying out loud, Hail Marys and Our Fathers.
getting comfortable with your voice flow, that's great. That is beautiful. Well, is there anything else you'd like to add in general about St. Joan of Arc and just about Catholic religion? Or
no, there isn't. But you know, I am just so comfortable having grown up a Catholic. I think I'm special because I'm a Catholic I'm grateful to my parents for instilling that in me and for living across the street from St. Joan of Arc until I married.
So what would be the final message to your grandkids when they have kids on what you would like to kind of instill on them and what they should kind of always remember about your focus on faith? What would you like to say to them?
I'm going to have to skip that one. Okay. I try not to preach, you know.
Okay. That's good. That leaves it up to them, but I'm sure they can look at you as, you know, as kind of a guide for what your actions have been, and you know, and it's always good to be able to hear their perspectives on you and what they've learned from you. So that might be something that can happen down the road that we can help with. But I'm going to close this out unless you have anything else you'd like to say. And I'd like to say it was beautiful talking with you. And I think it was a great overview of your life in Catholicism and just what you've been able to kind of experience and learn. So I thank you for your time. And Betty, is there anything else you'd like to say?
No, but thank you, Sean. This was easy, lovely, and you can just call me anytime and talk.
Well, that sounds great. We can maybe save some other life stories and what you love and some things that maybe could educate the fam. But I'm going to close this one out, but you just stay on the line for the second.
All right, Sean.